everybody. Wow, what a great range of presentations. It's going to be hard to follow them up. So today I'll be presenting on our project at NYU CISA, Muslim Americans Reaching for Health and Building Alliances, or the Marhaba Project, as we call it. And I'll be presenting specifically on the development of our tailored health campaign to increase breast and cervical cancer screening among Muslim women in New York City. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So for this presentation, I'll give a brief background about the project and the need for the study, some of the methods we used to build our campaign concepts, so the message development, and then the focus groups that tested these concepts as well, and then the results of the focus groups and our next steps in terms of disseminating the campaign. So project background, and that's our logo that we use for the Marhaba Project. So it's hands in prayer with henna, which is something that many of the Muslim women in New York City can identify with. So just a brief background, Muslims are one of the fastest growing religious groups in the United States. However, numbers of Muslim in the United States is not tracked in any type of database or any large scale. So ranges can estimate from, estimates range from about 1.5 to 9 million. And likely, similarly, little is known really about the health disparities facing their community, and especially how unique cultural, religious, and social beliefs and practices can really impact health behaviors and outcomes. However, there is a small but growing literature that suggests that Muslim women may have lower rates of breast and cervical cancer screening and higher rates of developing these cancers compared to the overall population. So with this background, the two study goals of the Marhaba Project at the start of the study was to really understand the barriers and facilitators of breast and cervical cancer screening among a diverse group of Muslim women in New York City using a qualitative community engaged approach. And from the first study goal, we wanted to inform the development of a large-scale social marketing campaign to increase rates of screening among Muslim women. And again, I will be focusing on the second study goal for this presentation. So the methods we used for message development were really largely based on two sources of data. So our first phase of the Marhaba Project, we conducted a series of key informant interviews. We had about 12 within the New York City area, and these key informant interviews were from leaders within the faith community, social service providers who had a large Muslim population, clinical providers with a large Muslim population, and these interviews are really largely used to guide kind of how do we conduct a research study within this population, and again, using our end goal of creating a campaign, how should this campaign be look, what should it be comprised of, how should it be disseminated? So that was our first data collection source for the Marhaba Project. The second data source were these a series of in-depth interviews that we conducted in the community. Sorry, that cut off a little bit, but we conducted about 98 interviews within the community. And given the diversity of the Muslim population within New York City, we wanted to make sure our sample also reflected the diversity of the Muslim population. So we included African American Muslim women, African immigrant Muslim women, South Asian, Middle Eastern, and Southeast Asian women of Muslim who identified as Muslim. These interviews were largely qualitative. They were face-to-face, semi-structured interviews in their preferred language by a research staff member. Again, you know, we really wanted to take this as an opportunity to collect the broadest range of experiences from the diverse Muslim community within New York City, so we chose to engage in these qualitative interviews. And we also used these interviews to collect information about breast and cervical cancer screening, beliefs, things along those lines, but also healthcare access, communication, things along those lines to really get an accurate representation of what the healthcare experience was like for Muslim women in New York City. So from these two data sources, we identified a number of barriers, which included the gender physicians. Most women were not going to get screened unless they had a female provider, and that's something that's supported in a lot of the literature within this population. Healthcare access, and you know, access because of insurance, which we're seeing a lot of, but also language. Again, the diversity of the Muslim population requires a number of different languages, and we're seeing that if information is not disseminated in their preferred language, it was a barrier for them to get screening. Ideas of modesty, again, given some of the invasiveness of the mammogram and the pap smear, many women identified that as a barrier for screening. Fatalism within the faith, you know, it doesn't matter what I do, if God ordains it, God ordains it. And we're seeing that among a lot of the women within our population. Ideas of female in the family and in kind of society, you know, I should be taking care of my family and my health is kind of secondary to the health of my family. And just a general lack of knowledge about screening, you know, about breast and cervical cancer in general. So we really found that among both of our data sources. But we also found that religion could be a great facilitator for breast and cervical cancer screening, which was identified by both key informants and women within our in-depth interviews. And one of the tenets of the Muslim faith is to really take care of your body as a part of being a good Muslim. So taking care of oneself and their health and kind of promoting screening would be a great point to kind of leverage within this community that was identified by both of our samples. So as I mentioned, our interviews also collected information not just about breast and cervical cancer screening, but what the campaign should look like. So we received a number of different information points about kind of the need for education as part of a campaign element that really needs to be included. You know, if people know about the severity of a health situation or disease, they would be more likely to be motivated to act. Language, again, something I've already mentioned, the diversity of the Muslim population within New York City really necessitates different materials in different languages, and again, given those population, we had to translate materials into Bengali, French, Urdu, Tagalog, you know, just a number, and that was just kind of the most languages that we found within our sample. We could have translated materials into so many more languages. In terms of form for the campaign, people identified visuals, you know, pictures, we are visual people. People in our community, when they see pictures, they ask about it, they want to know, especially if it's in their language or in their community. So the visual representations within our campaign was a really important part. Content, they really wanted to highlight the diversity of the Muslim community. And then spokesperson really came out in terms of who should be disseminating the message within this community. But there's two different types of spokespeople that were identified by both our key informants and our in-depth interview. So one identified the healthcare provider. You know, if a doctor referred me to get my screenings, I would be more likely to get that. And then another type of spokesperson that was really identified was a community member or a survivor from breast cancer. So if they see another sister coming in and talking about she had breast cancer and she went to the doctor and did the mammogram, people would believe that. And you know, identifying using faces that the women know. So somebody from the community was really something that was highlighted in both of our data sources. So given all that knowledge, we created a logo, and this is our logo as of now. So we can see there's a hijab, which is the head covering used by Muslim women, and the hijab is comprised of the two ribbons of breast cancer and cervical cancer. And we also created a series of concepts based on the data that we collected from key informant and in-depth interviews. So we created a series of four concepts. Each concept had a commercial TV ad type and then a print ad that was associated with the TV ad. So this first one really emphasized the role of the woman in the family and her importance. So you see kind of, you open up to a scene of chaos within the family. You know, the father doesn't know what tie to wear, the son is trying to eat cereal, and the mom is, you know, the daughter is screaming for mom, and then all of a sudden mom comes in, you know, from work, and she saves the day. She picks out the tie, she picks out the, you know, helps the son with his breakfast and helps the daughter. And the message really is, your family can't lose you even for a minute. Imagine a lifetime. Talk to your doctor and schedule breast and cervical cancer screening today. So that was the first concept, and again, I think really goes to highlighting the role of the woman within the family and the need for her to take care of her health in order to take care of her family. And then this is the associated print ad, and the message here is that a home without a mother is just a house. Don't let cancer cut you out of the picture. The second concept that we created was, again, focusing on the role of the female, and shows a beautiful flower, and then progressively shows this dark spot that gets a little larger as the TV ad kind of rolls out. And then the end, it has the woman plucking out the petal with the spot with the daughter next to her. And the message here is, breast and cervical cancer can affect anyone anytime, but you can take control and protect your health. Again, talk to your doctor about getting cancer screening. And here is a print ad associated with that TV ad, and it says, don't let cancer damage your beautiful life. Routine screening and early diagnosis are the best defense. The third concept we created was similar to the first concept, and again, it shows the female role in the family, and this one but has a little kind of a difference in terms of it shows the woman as the queen bee of the family. Again, emphasizing the role of the woman in the family, but the message here is that being the queen bee of your family carries certain responsibilities. Take charge of your health, not only for yourself, but also for your loved ones. And again, here's a print ad. As the queen bee of your family, you have some responsibilities. And lastly, the fourth concept has a community spokesperson, but we have two different versions of it. So first, we use a spokesperson that Muslim women can relate to in terms of the use of a celebrity spokesperson. So here, the TV ad kind of has a day in the life of this author and international speaker, and it ends with her in the doctor's office. And the message here is, my faith guides me to follow my dreams. My body enables me in that pursuit. I won't let breast and cervical cancer get in the way of that. And here is the print ad with that same message. And then the second version uses that idea of the community spokesperson or someone who is a survivor of breast and cervical cancer as the spokesperson for that ad. And here the message is, this year I battled breast cancer and won. I'm now living the best possible life I can. My greatest inspiration has been my faith and my family. A 10-minute breast and cervical cancer screening can make all the difference. Again, using that woman from the community that has survived breast cancer and can talk to the community about it. And here is the associated print ad. Again, my faith gave me the strength, early screening gave me the advantage in my treatment. So just briefly, some about the focus groups. We use multi-pronged recruitment. We largely recruited from the community, from different venues, faith-based mosques and community-based organizations. Muslim Student Associations is a great source of recruitment for us. And we did some strategic tabling and clinics. For the focus groups, we had two different kind of collection points. We had a brief demographic questionnaire, again, just to see who is in the focus groups. And our focus group was guided by a topic guide. All focus groups were conducted in language, so we had our splits in terms of ethnicity. So our focus groups were South Asian, Middle Eastern, Southeast Asian, and then the fourth focus group was conducted in English, so we were able to conduct it with African American and African immigrant women. So some of the results, a large range in terms of age, but mostly were foreign-born, although the range of length of time in the United States was very large, from 2 to 45 years. Similarly, there was a large range in education, but almost half of the population spoke a language other than English at the home. So in terms of benefits for concept one, people like the role of the woman in the family. You know, they have the scissor because she has cancer and she'll be taken out of the family. But they didn't like the chaos within that ad and the print ad. Looks like everybody became crazy, and there was a lack of clarity about messages, which actually we saw across a number of the different concepts, and that you had to read the message to actually get the point of what they're trying to convey. Similarly to the concept two, again, there's a lack of clarity about the message. You can tell it's a disease. They actually liked the clarity of the message, but they couldn't tell what the disease was. They knew it was a disease, and the disease was attacking the flower, but people were saying, I didn't get it when I first saw it, and you have to actually read the message to understand. As I mentioned for concept one, women really liked the role of the family and the woman of the concept. The mother has to take care of herself because she has to take care of everybody. But again, you really have to read the message in order to get what the concept is trying to demonstrate, which women didn't really like. As one woman noted, I don't like it. I don't see if it has anything to do with cancer. So concept four was actually really well liked by our sample. They really liked the idea of a celebrity spokesperson because everybody knows her and it's easier for her to say, let's do it together. And version two, with the community spokespeople, a person was also really liked within our focus groups. As one woman noted, she's saying that she has breast cancer and now she's okay. She's creating consciousness. So we did ask as part of our focus groups, you know, which one did you like best in terms of the TV and the print ad? Across our different groups, and again, they were broken up by ethnicity. Concept two with the flower was actually really liked by almost all of our groups. But in terms of the print ad, they really liked the spokesperson, and I really identified with the celebrity spokesperson as opposed to the community spokesperson. And then again, as I mentioned in some of the results, the messages really need to be clear, and there has to be an instant link to cancer screening, which is really lacking in terms of some of our concepts. As one woman noted, you have to give the point a little earlier. However, when we tried to identify who would be the celebrity spokesperson across all of our groups, we really couldn't identify anyone. You know, that within the African American Muslim population, there was one woman they identified with, but that woman was not known to the Southeast Asian Muslim group. So it's hard to identify a celebrity spokesperson that could be used across all the groups, which is what we're trying to do with our next steps. So for our next steps, we are going to be disseminating some of the campaign elements, and we will be using a version of Concept 4 with a spokesperson, but we'll probably be using somebody from the community for version 2 just because we couldn't really identify somebody as a celebrity that could work within all of our different groups. And the material will be conducted, will be tested as part of a lay health worker intervention, testing the effectiveness of the print materials specifically that were identified from the focus groups. And this is a quote from one of our key informants. This is going to be a long battle, but eventually it will help. So we're really excited about continuing this project too.
Thank you very much. All these presenters, as you said, Sylpa, it's quite an array of things that we have presented here today. And as a social marketer, I feel so proud of my colleagues because very audience-focused, very interesting message and lots of great formative research. So we'd like to take some questions, and maybe, Lauren, this would give you time to try to, because we have... We're a little ahead of schedule, so we can take some questions, and if you want to try to put your DVD in and see if that works. So, yes, question.
I have a question actually about the Whole Person Project. Yeah. So, and it's kind of a tough question, I'll just say that. So I'm from Phoenix, and I'm sure you've heard about all the drama with the VA in Phoenix and everything. So I think this is marketing campaign would be great, and I fully enjoy the terms of it. But what happens when you get people to try and
yes, and just to repeat the question for everyone who heard, she was asking, you know, when someone gets to the point where they are ready to seek care, what if the infrastructure is not there? And that's a great question. And from our perspective, not specifically, so that's not a part of our stakeholder outreach at this time. We are sponsored by the Defense Centers of Excellence for Psychological Health and Traumatic Brain Injury, so they are the mental health arm of the Defense Department. And I know that a lot of our metrics are shared in at the White House level in senior discussions, but we are really, but that's the next step. That's so important to make sure that infrastructure is there. But unfortunately, that's not something that we are a part of or have influence over at this time.
Mm-hmm.